Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dumb, I'm calling this Crudy Does DC. And I'm so confused because I can see you in the Madison studios, the Solidarity Realty studios. You're there with Nate, but here I am. I told you I'd go to DC and I'd bring you back a speaker of the house.
Yeah, man. You should stay there until they get a new one. I'm not real fond of this one. Good to see you, Mike, on the road. I'm going to call it Crudy Calling It In. Nate, working the board. Thank you, sir, our fair audience. Happy, happy days to us all.
Calling it in. Buddy, I have been on a walking tour. I have been busting my ass here in the District of Columbia. Never did I know when I planned my day today, Dem, I'd be walking headlong into an election, a successful election of a guy, Mike Johnson? Question mark? Who is this guy? Mike Johnson. Never. My wife's like, Mike's Johnson? What?
Who? What? What?
Yes. It is no reference to me in any way, shape, or form. But there is a Speaker of the House, Dom, a successful vote all the way through the Republican crazy caucus. And did I mention to you, Dom, I got a little brush with fame today. Congresswoman Lauren Boebert passed her on the street.
Oh, did you get a little brush like the theater brush, or how close were you to the congresswoman?
Well, you know, there was no actual contact, but
all right,
I feel like she gave me a look, Dom. I feel like she was giving me a look. Anyways, Dom, I also saw our mutual friend Gwen Moore. Congresswoman Gwen Moore had a nice chat with her.
Nice.
Out in front of the Longworth building. And I had a local cop, he's eyeballing me. And I'm standing outside, you know, and I'm at this press conference waiting to see if there's going to be gray smoke or white smoke coming out of the Capitol Dome. And apparently it's white smoke success, although maybe black smoke, Dom. I'm not exactly sure how you would signify this new speaker-elect Mike Johnson. But eventually I ran out of time. I had an appointed meeting with Mark Pocan, and he was on the floor voting. And oh, one other admission. Guess who wasn't in the Congress today, Dom?
Derek Van Orden. Yes, he's out saving the world over in Israel, still serving his foreign constituents.
Well, then he will miss the initial vote under the new speakership of Mike Johnson, a bipartisan vote in support of Israel, probably about 2 weeks too late in the coming, according to Mark Pocan. Did I mention I interviewed my congressman, our mutual friend, Mark Pocan, and you're going to hear that interview at 4:30 Central Time for you Midwesterners, you Wisconsinites. You know, I'm out here on the leftist.
Yes, you're the elite. Well, I guess, you're the elitist now, Crudy.
I have been, you know, playing a little political, you know, looking for my political heroes. And the only one I've been really impressed to see, other than Gwen, and of course Mark Pocan, and again, we'll bring you the sound of my interview, Mark Pocan, immediately coming off the House floor, and the interview immediately after the election of new Speaker Mike Johnson. But I saw John Fetterman yesterday. I was walking around D.C. I was here with Mrs. Crudy. She's got her own big show coming on tonight, The Empowered Caregiver, live from D.C. I'm actually her plus one, Dom. She's here for a National Caregiver Conference and is doing a live broadcast from this beautiful hotel, the Royal Sonesta, Capitol Hill. I didn't know I was staying in such nice accommodations, but I am literally within walking distance to the hill. At least yesterday I was.
You know, listen to this guy. He's staying at the really nice hotel in D.C., drags me out to Vegas for a dem debate, and I got to stay at the Circus, man. I mean, those rooms were so cheap, I think they paid me to stay there.
Well, there was less clear damage on the on the spreads and much less smoking smell yeah. in the actual hotel here. A very modern, I got to tell you, the staff here, I feel like a big shot, Dom. I have been pampered by the staff. They're very polite, very friendly, Midwestern nice, you might say. But maybe they're all just excited because we've got a Speaker of the House. But as I was walking through the Capitol Hill yesterday, my wife and I did a little self-guided walking tour of D.C., saw John Fetterman sitting on a park bench on the Capitol Hill grounds. And, you know, I was dying to walk up and introduce myself, Dom, but... You know, the guy seemed so chill there. He was like, it was like an outside recess day. You know what it's like yesterday? Wisconsin had that beautiful weather. Well, who wants to rob that from a guy and say, hey, I'm a radio guy. Can I ask you some questions? Because you know what he would have said? Call my office. So I didn't bug him. And today, Dom, I had the appointed walkthrough, and I went and interviewed Mark Pocan. But here's what I didn't account for. They had shut down the entire Capitol Hill complex, and I'm carrying around this gear case, this 60-ish pound gear case. I mean, this gear case weighs more than Lauren Boebert, dude. This gear case is heavy. And I'm thinking, I'm a strapping dude. I had plenty of energy all the way up to the Capitol. I mean, I'm carrying this 60-pounder. I'm trading arms, but I'm doing it. You know, I'm doing it. And then I waited for the press conference that never came. Eventually it came, but it came without Crudy because I had moved on to the Longworth building, my interview with Mark Pocan. And then I got to walk back. And they will not let me back on the Capitol grounds.
You got to go around?
I had to go around the entire Capitol grounds. And although Madison, Wisconsin built a little bit on the basics of Washington, D.C., the Capitol grounds here are substantially larger than the Wisconsin Capitol grounds. Down many, many fine monuments on the grounds. I found myself looking at a monument to General Grant, and I thought, this is a good stop to set the gear down because on the way back, it was like a 3-mile walk with 60 pounds of gear. And I'm now wearing shorts and fortunately in the air-conditioned Royal Sonesta where Bill Press, our D.C. buddy, podcaster, prognosticator, pundit, and friend of the Devil's Advocates, Bill Press, joining me here 6:30 D.C. time, 5:30 Central time. So can't wait for Bill. He's joining me at the Royal Sonesta. And I sent you a picture of the pillow on the bed when I got here. And there's this matching. I'll put it up on our Facebook. If you haven't seen the Devil's Advocates Facebook, I've even gone live a couple times today for you. And the art in the lobby here, an enormous beaver face, and he's wearing a crown, and this is not like some print. This is a portrait they had done, and in the room that I'm staying in, there was also a finely embroidered cushion on the bed, and it also is a beaver, and I sent you a picture of the stuffed cushion, and you said, nice beaver, and I said, I just had it stuffed.
Naked Gun, well done, sir.
So anyways, buddy, my wife, obviously not cognizant of the fact that I'm doing a show right now. But, Dom, we are in D.C. Me and Mrs. Crudy, she not paying attention to the clock, nor I, but having a good time. And we brought you back as Speaker of the House. I understand someone's got sound of that.
I believe we do have some sound. Nate doing the hard work today. We got some Jeffries and we have some Johnson. Let's start with the man of the hour, Johnson. Mike Johnson, is that his name? We have some reporting on him. CNN has a piece, of course. Washington Post. We have some things we'll let you know about Mike Johnson. But let's hear the new speaker, Nate. Cut number 7, please.
Kevin has dedicated over 2 decades of his life to selfless public service, 16 of those years in this House. And you would be hard-pressed to find anybody who loves this institution more or has contributed more to it. He is the reason we're in this majority today.
Selfless, so selfless. Let's keep going. The new speaker, Johnson. America, we hear you. I somehow doubt it. Cut eight.
I want to say to the American people on behalf of all of us here, we hear you. We know the challenges you're facing. We know that that there's a lot going on in our country, domestically and abroad, and we are ready to get to work again to solve those problems, and we will.
Mm-hmm. I'll believe it when I see it, Mr. Johnson. Here we go. He's very gaudy. Let's hear what he had to say. Cut nine.
I believe that each one of us has a huge responsibility today to use the gifts that God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great country, and they deserve it, and to ensure that our republic remains standing as the great beacon of light and hope and freedom in a world that desperately needs it.
Yeah, but not too bright, because, you know, that southern border, we don't have too many people coming here. Cut number 10, please.
We have a catastrophe at our southern border. The Senate and the White House can no longer ignore the problem. From Texas to New York, wave after wave of illegal migrants are stressing our communities to their breaking points. We know that our streets are being flooded with fentanyl, and all of our communities, children, and even adults are dying from it. The status quo is unacceptable. Inaction is unacceptable, and we must come together and address the broken border. We have to do it.
Let's hear the seven tenets that make America, according to the new speaker, Mike Johnson.
I call them the seven core principles of American conservatism, but let me concede to you all, I think it's really quintessentially the core principles of our nation. I boil them down to individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and human dignity. Those are the foundations that made us the extraordinary nation that we are. And you and I today are the stewards of those principles.
Rule
of law. The things that have made us the freest, most powerful, most successful nation in the history of the world. The things that have made us truly exceptional.
Rule of law and fiscal responsibility? This is the mega. They call him Mega Mike Johnson. I think Gates called him that. And this was the guy who helped lead the effort to overturn the election. Yeah, he's really all about the rule of law. If you would apply that law to your own president, sir, maybe he would not have supported you in this effort.
Dom, I knew a kid in 1981 named Blaine that had this guy's haircut. That is a throwback. That is a feathered throwback haircut. Devil's Advocates, Crudy Does DC, Wednesday edition. Come on back with us. My exclusive interview with Mark Pocan at 4:30 and Bill Press at the Royal Sedesta, Capitol Hill at 5:30. More Devils.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
From the 420 break, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join this fine show. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Make sure you stick around. Crudy's exclusive interview with Congressman Mark Pocan coming up at the bottom of the hour.
I got Mark immediately after he came off the House Speaker vote. And Tom, I got to tell you, I was a little shocked. The Republican caucus just 3 weeks and a day later have elected their fourth choice on the first ballot.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Is this a sign of progress? I'm going to preview the interview with Mark Pocan. I said, you know, now that we've got a speaker, is this about governance or shutting down the government?
Yes, exactly.
He'll tell you.
He'll tell you.
Coming up very soon.
We have a couple more cuts from the new speaker, Mike Johnson. Let's get to that. Of course, then Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries also spoke today.
He was
today.
Killing it.
Yeah, he's so good. He's so good. Here is Johnson. Just a couple more. The House back for business, baby. If the House is a-rockin', don't come a-knockin'. Cut 12, please.
And we want our allies around the world to know that this body of lawmakers is reporting again to our duty stations. Let the enemies of freedom around the world hear us loud and clear. The People's House is back in business.
All right. Yeah, but, you know, I want you to do me a favor, though. You know, we'll do some business with you. You do some business with me. Just do me a little favor, will you? You know, that kind of business, the Trump business, Mega Mike Johnson. Just curious. Last one from the new speaker, the reason he is the speaker. Cut number 13, please.
I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear.
Oh, God.
That God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us.
So if God raises them up, then did God strike them down? I mean, is Kevin McCarthy down because of Matt Gaetz or because of God? Or does that mean Matt Gaetz is God? I'm just so confused. Hakeem Jeffries also spoke today. Let's hear what he had to say. Cut number one, please.
From the very beginning of this Congress, House Democrats have made clear that we will find bipartisan common ground with our Republican colleagues whenever and wherever possible for the good of the American people. And House Democrats have repeatedly done just that.
I mean, it was a bipartisan vote to remove McCarthy. He can't really go against that, right? He went with the other eight. And don't let McCarthy, he'll tell you, he'll remind you all the time, you know, these crazy eight and every single Dem. But I digress. Guy who should be Speaker, Hakeem Jeffries, cut number two, please.
It was House Democrats who provided a majority of the votes necessary to avoid a catastrophic default on our debt that would have crashed the U.S. economy and triggered a job-killing recession. It was House Democrats who provided a majority of the votes necessary to avoid a government shutdown that would have hurt everyday American. It was House Democrats who provided a majority of the votes necessary to secure $16 billion in disaster assistance for Americans whose lives have been devastated by extreme weather events. From the very beginning of this Congress, House Democrats have been governing for the people.
Oh, yeah. Love me some Hakeem Jeffries, man. Time for partisanship is over. Cut three.
The time for gamesmanship is over. The time for brinksmanship is over. The time for partisanship is over. It's time to get back to doing the business of the American people.
Time to get back to work, Crudy. Just two more from Hakeem Jeffries. The union must succeed. Cut four.
And we have but one charge to keep during this moment of great fragility. Our union must be sustained. Our union must be strengthened. Our union must succeed.
That's very interesting considering who they just elected to be Speaker of the House. The final cut from Hakeem Jeffries. Cut five, please.
We faced adversity right here in the House of Representatives when on January 6, 2021, a violent mob of insurrectionists incited by some in this chamber overran the House floor as part of an effort to halt the peaceful transfer of power. Every time we faced adversity, the good news here in America is that we always overcome.
Hakeem Jeffries, yes, lighting
it up. Just sticking it to them, to their faces.
Well, absolutely, that's how it should be.
Because those insurrectionists supporting Congress people, they're in that room at that time. Nobody left yet. He's speaking to the entire House. Except for Derek Van Orden.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit from the Washington Post. Johnson, 51, opposed certifying the results of the 2020 election. Here's what he tweeted out on, this is November 7th of 2020. Quote, I just called President Trump to say this. Stay strong and keep fighting, sir. The nation is depending upon your resolve. We must exhaust every available legal remedy to restore America's trust in the fairness of our election system. Johnson also objected to certifying Biden's electoral win and was one of the architects of a legal attack on the election that consisted of arguing the state's voting accommodations during the pandemic were unconstitutional. He led a group of 126 Republican lawmakers in filing an amicus brief to the Supreme Court challenging the authorities in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan had usurped the constitutional authority of state legislatures when they loosened voting restrictions because of the pandemic. The court rejected the underlying complaint filed by the state of Texas, citing a lack of standing, and dismissed all other related motions, including the amicus brief. But according to the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, us in Wisconsin, by engaging and trying to help people to go vote during a pandemic, well, that was our attempt to usurp the constitutional authority, and therefore, what? We should overturn the election. That, among many other criticisms that I have, the guy's super anti-LGBTQ. The guy's also obviously very, very anti-abortion. So, I mean, he's Mega Mike, man. So congratulations. They got what they wanted.
Dom, my understanding, and I did see press questioning some of the Republicans as they came off the Hill. What do you think about a speaker that would support a complete abortion ban on a federal level? Because it is my understanding that's this guy. And the Don't Say Gay bill on the federal level, that is also this guy. So this Mike Johnson character, he's a little unsavory to a lot of the things that we as progressives, you and I perhaps, Dom, I guess I'm just speaking for myself here, but I find this guy to be here's how I heard him analogized. He's been here a long time, long enough to make friends, but not long enough to make the entrenched enemies that a few of the prior candidates, see Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise, had. But, you know, give him a little time, Dom. I think he's an equal opportunity offender. I think he's going to have lots of enemies here, at least on Capitol Hill. My good friend, Mark Pocan, at least my good congressman, he allowed me to interview him immediately after coming off the floor. He showed me into his chambers. And Dom, it's a dog-friendly place. While we're doing the interview,
there's a
beautiful golden lab of one of his staffers hanging out, wagging her tail, because Mark keeps dog treats right in his office. They all know.
It.
All the dogs know.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's great.
So come on back. This is a pre-recorded interview, but this one's only about 90 minutes old, still fresh off the presses. My exclusive sound with Mark Pocan addressing the election of a speaker. Devil's Advocate's Crudy Does DC. And Mark Pocan, my good congressman, friend of the Devil's Advocates. My exclusive interview with him, pre-recorded, is next. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crudy Does DC, and I am here in the office of Mark Pocan. And Mark, we have a Speaker of the House. What can you tell me about Rep. Mike Johnson?
Really as fresh as possible, right? I literally walked back in the last 20 minutes or so. Well, I can tell you he's definitely going to fit the mainstream of MAGA America. He's a guy who was one of the people who helped orchestrate the election denial of 2020. He's a guy who is virulently anti-gay. He actually introduced the Don't Say Gay bill at the federal level that we've seen in some states. Even before he was in Congress, he was representing extremist anti-equality groups. On choice, I believe one of the members told me on the floor that his position on abortion is that you should have to actually serve time for doing it, or point he said that. So this is a MAGA extremist that's now going to be the speaker. Kevin McCarthy governed like a MAGA extremist, just Kevin never stood for anything. So, you know, he was like flavorless jello and just whatever was next to him, he kind of resembled. But this guy resembles an extremist. He's a Christian nationalist. So, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a white Christian nationalist. This guy happens to be white. So I think you get the idea. They're very, very similar. I think as the media start digging into his background, since he was so fresh, this all happened in 24 hours, I think you're going to see a lot of things. They're going to be a little bit spooky come Halloween.
Yeah, some of your Republican colleagues were returning from Capitol Hill, crossing the street over here to the Longworth building. I saw there were reporters questioning, do you support, because they all voted for this guy, right, Mark?
Yeah.
Do you support a guy who supports a complete abortion ban?
Yeah.
And I had not yet heard that about Johnson, but this guy is so fresh. I haven't done any digging on this guy. I can't even tell you. I had seen him before. I had that haircut in 1989, I swear to God, when I had hair, Mark. But complete abortion ban, that is about as extreme as it gets.
Yeah, and in this organization that he defended before he was in Congress, this anti-gay group, supposedly another member told me that their stated purpose is to go back to, like, 3rd century Christian law, pre-printing press. Like, this is a group that he's defending and affiliated with. So I think, you know, people are going to find out a lot in the next week about him. And you could just tell from his speech, he kept having all kinds of biblical references. At least, you know, he's not faking it, right? I guess we'll know where he's at, and I'll give him that.
He has faith. He's a true believer. Actually, he is my congressman, Mark Pocan. I am in his office here on the Longworth Building, Capitol Hill. Mark, I appreciate you accommodating me so shortly after the vote. I never would have imagined they'd have pulled off Plan D in one vote. I thought there'd be opposition. What parts of his soul do you think he had to give up to win in the first ballot?
You know, I think since this is the third week of this circus that's been in town, and you know, the clown car was a little crowded, and I think they finally decided they just had to do this. We had to start governing again. I mean, the resolution we're going to vote on a little bit later to stand with Israel made sense 16 days ago. Right now, honestly, it doesn't, but we'll still do it. But we've been just MIA as a Congress. Not as MIA as Derek Van Orden, because he's literally not even in the country during this vote. And what's so ironic is he's in Israel supposedly using on a fact-finding tour that only he can do, and he'll miss a resolution to support Israel in Congress. But, you know, that's the irony of Derek Van Orden. But, you know, this is something I think they realized that had they not done something, they were beyond ridiculous, right? I mean, they'd been lampooned, they'd been caricatured, everything, and they just had to do something. This guy just happened to be the guy, as the chairs were being pulled away with the music, had a chair sitting, and that's who their next speaker is.
Folks, that's Mark Pocan. He is the congressman from Wisconsin's 2nd CD. We've got a new Speaker of the House. I was looking for, a white plume of smoke off of Capitol Hill, something of the sort. Mike Johnson kind of came out of nowhere. I can't tell you a lot about him, Congressman. What experiences do you have? Any personal experience? Have you ever tried to work across the aisle with this guy?
At least I knew his name. Some of the people putting their names forward, I never even heard of before. I'm like, who's that? What's this member? But in his case, you know, he's been just known as, I think, the Republican study group he did work with. He might have been leading that. So kind of like a caucus like we have on the Democratic side. And but he's not really, you know, stood out for much of anything, right? I mean, other than we knew that he was probably one of the leading anti-gay folks in Congress, putting in the Don't Say Gay bill at the federal level. So being the chair of the Equality Caucus, he was on my radar screen in that regard. But if you asked me, well, I know he has 5 kids because he just said that. I know he's married because he said that. Like, I know nothing else about the guy. What we're learning is all at the same time about him, literally, as a member.
And Mark, someone that would challenge your very existence as a gay man who's married to a husband. Is there a common ground? How do you find a common ground with someone that doesn't want you to exist, at least in your current form, in your current marriage? What would you say to a guy like that?
Well, and that's what we're going to have to figure out. I mean, when Angie Craig from Minnesota voted for Hakeem Jeffries, she said, it's my wife and I's anniversary, and all the Dems applauded and stood up, and Republicans just sat there silent. Now, even that usually is the comedy that you would have of, you know, okay, fine, it's your anniversary, we'll applaud. But they can't even do that under this new extreme. So I think you're going to see is a very religious right turn. They always were, you know, kind of extreme, the MAGA, obviously, side. But it's going to be even more along those issues. Like at one point when he said, when he looked at Moses, and I kind of looked up because he was talking about being in the chamber, I thought maybe he was referring to a picture. I think he was seeing things, literally, as he's describing that moment. And that's a little scary, right? I'd be glad to talk to him about these issues. But knowing that he's Speaker, this is probably where his priorities are going to fall, and we're probably going to see more of this discriminatory legislation come before the House of Representatives.
You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crudy in D.C. I'm in the office of Congressman Mark Pocan, my congressman, our friend. Mark, appreciate you accommodating. Let's talk about the important business of keeping the country running.
Yeah.
We've got a deadline coming November 17th, I believe, Congressman, and the country runs out of money. So does the election of a speaker, at least it's a step, the Republican caucus has finally taken a step. Is this a step towards keeping the government open or towards another government shutdown? Mark?
It sounds like everyone understands, because we haven't worked for the last several weeks, and this was the clock ticking on that date. We need one more continuing resolution, likely to mid-January is what I'm hearing. I think that's the most likely date. And we'll probably get appropriation bills. The next 2 weeks, I was supposed to be back home. I'll be here instead. So again, I got to blow up my calendar and everyone that we were supposed to get around and see in the district. I won't, because I'll be here. But if we get all the appropriation bills done in the House, or as many as they can get done, at least that gives them a little better negotiating position. But generally, when you go to conference with the Senate, for the House and the Senate to figure out the appropriations process, it's a 40 to 50 day process. So that would give give us enough time to go to mid-January to get it done, even with the holidays. And I think that's realistic. So I don't think there'll be a big push to not have a continuing resolution. I do think the next few weeks will be this, what I call fantasy Congress, because these bills they're marking up are never going to become law on the House side.
What's this honeymoon going to look like, Mark?
It's going to be interesting. Well, that's the thing is, you know, as soon as he does something responsible,
yeah,
there are certain people in his caucus who are not going to be happy. So, you know, I just thought Mike Gallagher, believe it or not, from Wisconsin, for a while, his name popped up because he didn't fit the most extreme categories in a few areas, but he's also way too smart to want this job right now because it's a tough job with this kind of extreme Republican caucus. So we'll see how he succeeds.
Mark Polkin, I was doing a walking trip around D.C. I'm in D.C. for a couple of days, and I was in Union Station today, mm-hmm, and sort of an impromptu pro-Palestinian people, mm-hmm, protests going on. Lots of fake blood, lots of bodies, lots of small babies on the floor. And Mark, I know you've been supportive of the Palestinian people. This is a nuanced topic, and we haven't,
yes,
waited a lot in, yeah, the foreign policy, and I don't want to, Mark.
Yeah.
But how do you balance support for the Israelis and their right to defend themselves with support for the Palestinians that are living in the Gaza amongst Hamas? How do you manage this fine balance, Congressman?
It's tricky. And honestly, I get yelled at by everyone, so I think maybe I'm doing the right thing. That my position has been, one, it was a horrific attack, right? You can't paraglide in and kill people. What Hamas did was brutal and deserves to have the response from Israel to Hamas. The problem is it's become collective punishment of everyone in Gaza. That's 2.2 million people. That is wrong. So, what we've been trying to have a position of saying, look, there should be a cessation of hostilities towards civilians. I mean, this is becoming collective punishment in the push that hurts 2.2 million people, not the at most maybe 30,000 people that are supposedly in Hamas, but certainly we know 1,000 people that were part of that attack. So it has to be more strategic what they're doing, but not this wholesale punishment. I mean, not having any food and water and fuels. Right now the hospitals are out of fuels. That means ventilators for premature babies can't work. That means they don't have medications. So I noticed a very pro-Israeli group, although I'd really say more pro-Netanyahu group in the U.S. just put out, you know, showing babies born in Israel saying under the rocket fire from Gaza. Well, one, we have Iron Dome to take out those rockets, so they have, you know, a safer existence because of it. But that's not true in Gaza. And the same babies, doesn't matter where the baby is, we should be concerned about babies that are at risk. And I think we have to have a position that says, stop the cessation of hostilities against civilians, because I think that is happening, moving half of the population. I mean, clearly that's not going after the goal, but respecting the right that Israel has a right to respond to Hamas for the attack. It's a tough position. Some people want to talk about the 20 years of inequities with how people in Gaza were treated. I completely agree. But now's not that debate necessarily. And others want to say, no, what happened is if you live in Gaza, too bad. Hamas is the governing body. Therefore, you're going to pay a price. I also don't agree with that. So I'm getting it a little bit from everyone, which I think I'm pretty comfortable with, since I am kind of one of the people that spends the most time talking about Gaza in Congress. I've been trying to get in for 5 or 6 years. I had just gotten permission from the Israeli government to go, and this happened. So I'm sure I'm not going to be able to go right now. But it's been a pretty awful situation. I mean, the conditions there have been just enough to survive, which is awful. It's really an open-air prison. And now you throw in what's going on and people can't leave. I mean, that's not acceptable. We need a much better humanitarian response out of Israel than they're doing. And I think they're hurting their case right now by doing this, what I think appears to be indiscriminate bombing.
Mark Polkin, my congressman, I know we're short on time because I've been peeking at your phone. Mark, let me ask you, I'm a little concerned about escalation and the United States getting pulled more broadly into this centuries, thousands, millennia old conflict in the Middle East. And as a guy who served after the first or during the first Iraq war, you know, anything that happens, yeah, in the Middle East concerns me that we as a country are going to escalate. Mark, are there any valid fears there?
If Hezbollah or Iran gets in directly, that would be a problem. So I think, you know, that's part of why I think the strategy, what Israel's doing in Gaza, is more likely to draw them in, because it does appear that they're punishing 2.2 million people who are not Hamas. And as long as that happens, we're at risk. And so, you know, one, I think it's in Israel's best interest to have a smarter policy than they're currently having in responding in Gaza. But if either of those countries got in, it certainly would be an elevated situation. And you could see, you know, the U.S. looking at different ways of responding. Right now, there is a security package that just got introduced that has a lot of money for both security for Israel as well as humanitarian aid for Gaza. So we'll see how that proceeds in this brand new Congress with a brand new speaker. But there's a lot that Congress and certainly the administration need to do to make sure that we don't get pulled into this.
Mark Pocan, any final thoughts for your constituents back in Wisconsin here as I wrap things up with you?
Just, you know, pay attention to stuff and reach out to us. People certainly have, especially around Israel and Gaza, and that's good. We need to hear from people. But, you know, be active and contact your two senators. There's going to be a lot flying, especially with that November 17th date coming up and having to get this budget package done. The decisions that we do here impact people's lives. And honestly, last week, many of the groups that were focused on trying to stop the bombing, rightfully so, in Gaza, completely missed a security supplemental that was the funding for the next year for all humanitarian aid on the planet and from the U.S. And it's a number that I think is lower than I'm happy with. But the groups missed it because they were busy looking at something else. And I need people to really follow everything closely, reach out to us and to your senators and be heard.
Mark Pocan, thank you so much for letting me join you here at the office. I hear the bell.
Yeah.
Saved by the bell, Mark.
No, that's, I don't know. They've got another vote. We're going to be on the floor soon, but I also have a meeting in Hakeem Jeffries' office, our leader. The top 10, like, caucuses meet with him weekly, and so I'm part of that as chair of the Equality Caucus. So I'll learn probably a lot in the next hour.
Well, excellent, Mark Pocan. Thank you so much for joining me back soon. Crudy in D.C., more Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates. All I want for
a rambling man. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank my most recent guest, recorded a couple hours ago with Mark Pocan, my congressman, our friend. How'd I do, fella?
Oh, well done, Crudy. Nice job. Nice to hear Pocan as well.
And as mentioned, that is a super cool office, dog friendly.
Yeah, I love that.
He is in the Longworth building and apparently must share at least a building with Lauren Boebert. I saw her over there. Saw Gwen Moore today as well. Nice to see your congresswoman, Gwen Moore. She sends her regards, Dom.
Well, excellent. We plan on having Gwen, I believe, next month she'll be joining us.
Well, she said she had a doctor's appointment tomorrow where we would have made some plans for sooner than that. But, Dom, we got a fine D.C. pundit, podcaster, and friend of the Devil's Advocates, Bill Press, to join me here in the lobby at the Royal Sonesta Capitol Hill. Dom, I think I picked the right week to be.
It was very fortuitous, Curdy. Mike Johnson, I mean, I've been, during the interview, listening to you and Mark, you know, kind of perusing the headlines and finding out a little bit more about this. And we'll get to your calls in just a moment, 844-967-2789, Wall Street Journal reporting. While Mike Johnson served as head of the Republican Study Commission, which represents a spectrum of House conservatives, Johnson presided over a budget blueprint designed to balance the federal budget in 10 years. Among other things, it pushed the idea long associated with former House Speaker Paul Ryan of Wisconsin to turn Medicare into a premium support system in which beneficiaries would receive financial assistance to buy health insurance through a regulated Medicare exchange. The plan also proposed raising the retirement age to 69 for people born in 1960 and later. The current requirement is 67. So he's one of those guys, Crudy. And also, CNN reporting this as well, something Johnson, in the mid-2000s, his anti-gay rhetoric was harsh. Quote, homosexual relationships are inherently unnatural and, the studies clearly show, are ultimately harmful and costly for everyone. Society cannot give its stamp of approval to such a dangerous lifestyle. If we change marriage for this tiny, modern minority, we'll have to do it for every deviant group. Polygamists, polyamorists, pedophiles, and others will be next in line to claim equal protection. They already are. There will be no legal basis to deny a bisexual the right to marry a partner of each sex or a person to marry his pet. Can we marry dogs? Wasn't that a clayfish thing? Granted, this was back in mid-2000s. This is, you know, perhaps almost 20 years ago. Perhaps now Speaker Mike Johnson has evolved on these issues, but I kind of doubt it. So that's what we're dealing with. And, you know, I feel a guy like Mark. I mean, Mark's gay. Mark's married. You know what I'm saying? If it were up to Speaker Johnson, your congressman, our friend Mark Pocan, would be illegal for him to marry his gay partner? I mean, this is what we're dealing with. This is the mega of the mega. Bipartisanship, good luck with that, Hakeem Jeffries, although I appreciate the effort.
Well, Dom, that's why we love Congressman Mark Pocan, because I know if that guy was talking about your marriage or my marriage, it'd be F that guy, right?
No doubt, man. Absolutely. He's way better in that job, perhaps, than I would be. 844-967-2789. We've got some callers holding. Let's get to them while we have some time. Dave from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Dave. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I like Mark Pocan. He's a great representative. I disagree with him on the few things he said about Gaza. The main thing was Israel is not deliberately punishing the civilian population there. I mean, the modus operandi of Hamas is to locate around, you know, mosques, hospitals, et cetera, civilian areas in order to garner as much sympathy as they can for their cause. If Israel has to conduct any kind of a bombing campaign. Now, people see, you know, buildings, you know, civilian buildings fall. You know, those confuse people because they're civilian buildings, but they become a military target when they're used, say, to fire artillery rockets in Israel. You know, a lot of this, if not all of it, is suppression of the rocket artillery that's continuing to fall on, to be the Israeli civilian population. I mean, there's no country in the world that wouldn't fight back against rocket artillery.
Dave, yes, that's a great point. Unfortunately, the population density of Gaza is like the thickest in the world, and there's obviously going to be civilian casualties. It's a tough line to hold, certainly. Dick from the garage, you're next. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Well, hey, after Dick. Watching this guy, yeah, hey guys, here's what scares me about him. He seems likable. He did some even self-deprecating humor, and most people don't follow this. I told Matt earlier, like you guys, and every 4 years they tout somebody out for president. But so now we got this new fascist speaker, and he reminds me. I told Matt earlier of this kid I grew up with, and my friend's dad called him a shrewdie, and he was kind of like. He was kind of like the Eddie Haskell character, and he flew under the radar. But what's even worse, did you hear what Kinzinger said about him already?
What's that?
This is funny. He is Jim Jordan in drag.
Wow. I'm not clear where that one comes from, but thanks for the call, Mark. I'm sorry, that was Dick. Mark, you'll have the last minute. What do you got for us?
Yeah,
hey, Mark.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey guys. And apologies to Bill from Oconomowoc, confusing him with Bill from Grantsburg the other day. But that Bill from Oconomowoc has a lot more sense than that. But it's just ridiculous that this guy is talking this religious line, and it just offends me that he ignores the whole no religious test in this country. We do not need to have our country ruled by third century Christian law or any third century religious law, period. that we are a secular country and we should remain so. And this guy should be reminded that Louisiana does not have religious tests in their constitution, as the United States Constitution does not have. So get over this whole religious test crap, Mr. Johnson.
I'm with you, Mark. Amen, brother.
More Devil's Advocates. Crudy does DC. And I got a fine friend joining me here at the Royal Sonesta Capitol Hill. He's Bill Prest. Bill Press, no T. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. He's a friend of ours. Bill
Press.
It's
not sour. It's not sweet. It's Bill Press.
It's just right. More Devil's Advocates. The happier, happy hour rolling live from D.C.